You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh Israel 5777, 2017. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Korach. I'd like to remind you once again about my Sefer, Perfectly Imperfect, Breaking Out of the Ordinary and Striving for Greatness, available wherever good Jewish books are sold. I also want to mention two other very important things. One is that in 2 weeks from now, on Parsha's Balak, it will be 10 years that I will be celebrating having put out a Parsha podcast every single week, Bezrat Hashem, with Hashem's help. So that's one momentous occasion. And I'd also like to share with you that I've started a new podcast on the Sefer Alei Shur, which is a beautiful Musar Sefer by Reb Shlomo Volbe. And I've started that as a video podcast. You can find that on TorahAnytime.com. And you can also find that on my YouTube channel as well as on my Facebook page. So check that out. Okay, in our Parsha this week, it's Parsha's Korach, and we have the famous rebellion of Korach and his people against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Moses, against Aaron HaKohen. The high priesthood was called into question by Korach. And I'd like to share with you a thought, which is really all-encompassing of the Parsha. I'd like to look at the Parsha generally, and also this week at the Haftorah, because there's an interesting insight that we can see from the parallel. Whenever we have a Haftorah, which is an added section that we read from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, so there's always something that parallels what's going on in our Parsha. It's a special reading that we do, and I'd like to share with you a thought that relates to how we can understand our Parsha in light of the Haftorah. But let's look for a moment at the Parsha, our Parsha itself, and we see that Korach, he comes to challenge the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, of his prophecy, and of his appointment of Aaron HaKohen, Aaron, as a high priest. And he says, why should there be any kind of classes? Why should there be different parts of Klal Yisrael? Why should there be people who have more power or have more closeness perhaps to God? We're all close. We're all special. We're all related to God. We all have a relationship with Hashem. So he challenged the fact that there could be a hierarchy within the Jewish people. And he said that no, every single person has an equal relationship with Hashem. And actually, that's a mistake. Actually, when we look at reality on a pshat level, we look at it on a simple level, we see that there are some people who have greater talent, there are some people who are more spiritual, there are some people who are less, some people who have more money, some people who have less money. And Hashem created it in this way, and part of what we have to do here in our lives, part of what we have to accomplish, what we have to rectify, is that the people who have more money need to share it with those who have less money. The people who have more spirituality or more ability, more talent, need to share it with those who have less. Yes, there is a clear requirement that we try to equal things out, so to speak. But interestingly, the way that the Torah approaches this type of thing, the way that the Hashkafa of the Torah is that our job is to correct, to bring back into balance that which is out of balance. But Korach's mistake clearly is that he says, no, because the ideal is that everything be in balance, everything already is in balance. That's his kind of approach to life. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response to that is, if you start that way, if you begin and say that everything is already in balance, everyone is already created equal, it's true that the goal is that everyone end up equal. But don't think that that's how it starts. Don't make that mistake. It's just not true. And the result of that mistake is that we see that Korach and those who came along with him, who challenged Moshe Rabbeinu, who challenged the way Hashem set up the world, who challenged the way Hashem created the fact that there are Gedolim, there are people who are greater, there are people who are on a lesser level, there are people who have a higher spiritual attunement, and they're able to have a higher spiritual attainment as a result. So, because he challenged that, the result was that there was destruction for him, for his family, and for all of those people who came along with him. Now, as we continue to read the account the Torah gives us of this event, so after Korach and all of the people are destroyed, after they all die, so the Jewish people are very upset about this challenge that took place. They're upset with the way that Moshe Rabbeinu handled it, and the fact that he gave them a test that they couldn't pass, really, and in a certain sense, he caused them to die. Yes, it was their own fault. Yes, they could have backed out. They chose not to. But there was a great challenge, and the challenge remained even to Aaron HaKohen himself, to Aaron the priest. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, he's like, why are you starting up with Aaron? What did he do wrong? He hasn't done anything. He's clearly the Bechir Hashem. He's clearly the someone who was chosen by Hashem. We know that Aaron HaKohen was somebody who had, he was Oyev Shalom, Raidev Shalom. He was someone who ran after peace. He loved peace. And the Torah describes the way that the Jewish people cried when he passed away. He was somebody who was beloved to his people. And yet Korach was challenging his appointment. He was challenging the fact that he was placed above anyone else. And that challenge that Korach created, that challenge that he presented, remained even after he was destroyed, even after his family was destroyed. And the Jewish people needed a proof. It's very interesting. They needed a proof that indeed Aaron HaKohen was exalted, that Hashem had chosen him to be on a higher level than other people. And that's why the Torah gives us this description of the story that takes place after Korach and his Eda, after the group were destroyed. So they take the staves of the 12 Nesiim, of the 12 different princes of each of the tribes, and they take the staff of Aaron HaKohen, they leave them in the Mishkan, the tabernacle, overnight. And the following morning, they see that of all of the staves, only Aaron HaKohen, only Aaron's staff, has begun, even though it's a staff, it's detached from the ground, but it started to grow. It started to have flowers and to have fruits, or really nuts, that grow upon it. And so there's a proof, there's a show, Hashem is showing and proving to the Jewish people that there are individuals. In this case, it's Aaron. It's Aaron the high priest. There are individuals who indeed somehow are able to access a higher place, to attach themselves, even though we in this world, and this is perhaps a deeper understanding of it, we in this world are in a certain sense detached. We don't see the spiritual in our lives so easily, right? So we're detached. We're like that mateh. We're like that staff. But there are those who, despite the detachment, are still attached. That's what Hashem is showing, that Aaron, the high priest, that Aaron HaKohen, is able to attach himself to a higher place, to the source of life. And so his mateh, his staff, still grows. It still produces fruit. It still produces flowers. And so we need to know, when it comes, Hashem is showing the Jewish people that we need to know, when it comes to our leaders, they have a special appointment by Hashem. And the appointment doesn't come because they grabbed leadership, like a Korach tried to do. It comes because of the fact that they are the Bechir Hashem. They are the chosen one of Hashem. And Hashem proves to us that indeed these people are special. And not because of anything that anyone else has done, not because anyone has appointed them, but just because it's a natural progression. And after the Torah describes all of this, gives us this account, so the Torah also gives us, towards the end of the parsha, it gives us a description of the fact that we have the Levites. Hashem gives the Levites all of the Levium, not just the Kohanim, not just the priests, but all of the Levites are there to serve in the Mishkan, to help Aaron to a certain extent, to be involved at that level. So the Levium are also, Aaron is chosen above the Levium. The Levium are chosen above the Jewish people. There's a hierarchy, there are levels in our relationship with Hashem and the way the Jewish people interact and relate to Hashem. And now corresponding to that, the Torah describes the obligation to give Miser, to give a tithe to the Levites. And the way that it's described in the Torah is that it's really given to Hashem. We give it to God, and God in turn gives it to the Levites. And then beautifully, it's not just incumbent upon the Jewish people themselves to give to the Levites the Miser, the tithe, but the Levites themselves also have to give a truma. They have to give a donation from their tithe. They give a tithe as well to the Kohanim. So the Jewish people give a tithe to the Levites and the Kohanim, to the priests, and the Levites themselves also give a tithe to the priests, to the Kohanim. So within this is an acknowledgement of the fact that I need to give from myself, I need to give something of mine, it seems to be mine, I need to give it to God and recognize that God gives it to these people. There's something that they have, there's something that I need to give to them and recognize that they have access to Hashem in a way that I don't naturally have, and I need to get from them. And interestingly, I also need as a result to give to them, because of the fact that I am not in that relationship, I'm not serving Hashem all day long in the way that the Kohanim, the priests, and the Levites are. So therefore, I perhaps have more time to be working on my business, to be involved in earning. So I need to give from what I have more of to those who have less. And there's an interplay, there's an interdependent reality that's created that we see very clearly here, and it's beautiful, and it's such a contrast between the beginning of the parsha, where Korach is trying to grab away from Aaron, trying to grab away the hierarchy, perhaps trying to take Malucha, kingship, for himself, but he's trying to take away the hierarchy and say, no, everyone can equally access God, we don't need this hierarchy, as opposed to the end of the parsha, where the Torah is teaching us how we approach hierarchy in a proper way, how we acknowledge the fact that there is a hierarchy, and the point of the hierarchy is to share. that those who have more in one area share with those who have less in that area, and those who have more in a different area share with those who have less in that different area. And I would also point out just something interesting, like why did Hashem set it up this way? What's the reason for it? And the thought that comes to me is that Hashem wants us to interact with each other. Hashem wants us to have compassion on each other. And the very way that Hashem created the world is such that we are less perfect. When we compare ourselves to God, God is perfect. Hashem is the ultimate perfection. Hashem created us in this world so that we could earn our reward, so to speak, or earn our relationship with Hashem, which is the reward. And we need to start off in a place which is lower. And because of the fact that we have this interaction, we have this relationship with Hashem, which is that God is great and perfect, and we are less than that, or much less than that, so that also exists in a parallel way in different places within the reality that we exist, between people, between a parent and a child. But the point is that it's always going to be getting to a higher place, to a greater level of equality, of a place where, you know, as I raise my child, they become greater and greater, to the point where we're almost on the same level. Of course, there's always a respect that's needed. There's always a relationship. You know, the parent is always the parent. The child is always the child. But as the child grows, they become closer to equals. And that's all a result of the way Hashem set up the world. And that represents the fact that we're in this world and there are imbalances, partly in order that we be able to learn how to interact with each other. It's a beautiful idea. Now, I'd like to share with you what happens in the Haftarah. Now that we've seen kind of an overview of the Parsha, in the Haftarah, it's very interesting. It brings us the story of Shmuel and Samuel, the prophet, that he appointed a king over the Jewish people. It was the first king. It was King Saul, Shaul HaMelech. And Shmuel was very upset. And it was actually a mistake on the part of the Jewish people to ask for a king. And he shows them in a miraculous way that this request that they had made for a king was a mistake. And it's very difficult to understand what exactly was the mistake, because the Torah tells us that when we come into Eretz Yisrael, one of the mitzvahs, one of the obligations upon us, is that when we get into the land of Israel, Samtasim Alech HaMelech, there's an obligation to appoint a king. So what was the problem? What was the mistake that the Jewish people made, such that Shmuel had to say to them, very interesting, he speaks actually in a very parallel way to the way Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. He says, Eshromi lokachti v'chamormi lokachti. He was upset at the Jewish people for asking for a king, and he said, what did I do wrong? Whose ox did I take that it was an illegitimate thing for me to request? Whose chamor, whose donkey did I take? I never took anything that didn't belong to me. I didn't take anything that wasn't mine. I was always here to service you, said Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi's like, Hashem sent constantly different people in order to help the Jewish people. When they did things wrong, when they sinned, they were sent away, so to speak, from Hashem, and there were enemies who arose. Hashem always appointed somebody to come and take care of you. And I was one of those people, and I don't understand, said Shmuel HaNavi, why you guys came and you wanted something else. You wanted a king. And it seems to me, as we read this account, it seems to me that the difference is exactly the same, is parallel to what we see going on in our Parsha. There's a big difference between a Moshe Rabbeinu and a Korach, between an Aaron HaKohen and a Korach, between a Shmuel HaNavi and even a Shaul HaMelech. Even though Shaul was anointed and appointed by God, King Saul was somebody who was an amazing tzaddik, an amazing righteous individual. He was a great person, a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, somebody who was an awesome individual. But the difference was the approach. How did that person get into power? What was it that was being requested? When it came to an Aaron HaKohen, like we said, he was somebody who came into power because Hashem appointed him to power. Shmuel says, I came into power, and there were other people who came to save the Jewish people. These were people who were appointed by Hashem. It was organic. It happened on its own. Nobody forced their way in. When you guys made a request for a king, it was akin to the request of Korach. Korach came and said, I should have the power. All the Jewish people should have the power. Instead of acknowledging and recognizing that the way that the power comes in is in an organic fashion, yes, through a hierarchy, yes, through people who have a greater spiritual attunement, through people who have a certain higher level, and they share that with those who are beneath them and bring them up, raise them up, until they can also be on that higher level. Korach is trying to grab the spiritual power, as opposed to an Aaron HaKohen who receives in an organic and natural way the spiritual power. Shmuel is saying to the Jewish people, you guys are trying to grab, you're trying to create an individual who has grabbed the power. Instead of it coming in an organic way like it's happened until now, instead of it coming to a prophet, a Shmuel, to other people who are able to fight against the enemies of the Jewish people in an organic way because Hashem appoints them, you guys are breaking with the organic way that Hashem creates the world and brings people who are leaders to the Jewish people. It's an amazing thing. I heard recently on a shir from a Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Per, about the contrast between the way that the Jewish people, the Orthodox world, the way that we get our gedolim, how do we get our leaders? It's something that just happens organically. A person grows and grows and becomes greater and greater, and all of a sudden, no one has appointed them to be the leader of the Jewish people. But they just become that. As opposed to what you see elsewhere, whether it's in politics, or whether it's in other religious circles, people become leaders, often by appointment, or perhaps they've built themselves up, etc. But it's there's pomp and there's ceremony around that leadership, which has its place. And certainly we see that around the king of the Jewish people, there was such a thing as pomp and ceremony. But naturally, the way that it occurs for the Jewish people, for our world, is in a more natural way, in a more organic way. A person becomes accepted by the Jewish people because of his greatness. We accept the leadership of our gedolim, of the great leaders of the Jewish people, organically, because of their greatness, because of their leadership ability. No one has appointed them to become the leader. So really we see that there are two different things, two different points when it comes to understanding our Parsha, Parshas Korach, and the Haftorah, the idea of the mistake of the Jewish people when it came to asking for a king. One point is that we see that the way that we get to our leaders, the way that we receive our leaders, the way that Hashem brings about the fact that we have people who can lead us and guide us is in an organic way. It's not something that we can grab at or force or try to bring into the world on our own. It's something that happens on its own. That's the first point. And the second point is that we can't grab for spirituality. We can't be able to get that leadership ability or the higher, you know, try to get higher in on the hierarchical ladder or something like that. It's not something that we can grab. It's only something that comes that we receive. And if we try to grab it, the result is going to be negative. But if we just receive it, if we're open to receiving it, the result will be positive. And so the Torah lays down a blueprint for the correct approach, the way to receive indeed the proper hierarchy, so that ultimately we can bring things into that balance, which Korach said we have already. But it's not something that we have already. It's something that we need to go through a process in order to receive. And the key to it all, the depth of it all, is the way that Hashem shows us so beautifully, so gently, this is how you do it. Give miser to the Levium. Give truma. Give a tithe. Give a donation. And recognize you're not giving that donation directly to the Levite or directly to the Kohen, to the priest. It's really something that you're giving to God. And Hashem gives it to the Levite. Hashem gives it to the Kohen, to the priest. And the Levite also has to recognize and acknowledge that there's a hierarchy, that the priest, the Kohen, is higher than him, that he has a greater spiritual ability, that he has a greater access to godliness. And in so doing, in that recognition, it's the opposite of a Korach. Korach tries to grab and say, no, I have a relationship with Hashem already. Give it to me. Let me be in charge. Torah says, no, that's not how we do it. We do the opposite. We say, we recognize. We recognize through our actions, through the truma that we give, through the tithe and the donations that we give, that this person has a higher level of spirituality. This person was imbued with a higher level of spirituality. And by the way, it's true of the Jewish people as well. There's a certain spirituality that's imbued in the Jewish people that the nations of the world are supposed to turn to us and recognize. As the verse speaks about when Mashiach, when the Messiah arrives, you know, 10 Gentiles are going to grab the four corner garments of the Jewish people, of each of the Jewish people, and say, take us with you, for God is with you, right? The idea there as well is that the spiritual attainments that are possible are only possible when we first recognize who somehow has a deeper access to those spiritual attainments. We recognize that, we acknowledge that through our giving, through the tithe that we give to the Levite, to the priest. We recognize that, and in so doing, we open up the possibility for us to receive that spiritual connection in a positive way, in the correct way, in the way that Hashem planned for us through the relationships that we develop with those who indeed are more spiritually developed than us, with those who indeed have organically received the leadership that they indeed have. So I want to bless you, and please bless me, Hashem should help us, to be able to recognize, to place, to give our tithes, the tzedakah, the charity that we give, to give it to the right place, to the Torah, to Torah institutions, to those who have that deeper spiritual place, who have that deeper spiritual access, to be able to create relationships with those people. And Hashem should help us that we should be able to receive organically the spirituality, the relationship with Him that He so desires that we have. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.